Okay, we're in Hebrews chapter number 2. I'm just going to pick up there in verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Considering what we have learned in the New Testament, in the first chapter, the Lord is giving us a warning about letting things slip. A drifting from the Word of God. Now, when you're my age and you've been pastoring people a long time, you know what you do? You see people slipping. I think some of y'all have slipped. You don't pay attention like you used to pay attention. Some would never think of skipping out of church. And then they skipped out one time for their justified reason. And lightning didn't come down. And they said, well, I guess this isn't such a big deal. Or, you know, you get on that internet with all those social media sites and all your friends, you know, they're dressing worldly and they're talking worldly and they're going to worldly amusements. So, well, you know, they're good Christians. And see, the whole effect here is you're supposed to pay attention to the Word of God. Amen. Not what others are doing. The Bible. Because when you stand before the Lord at the judgment seat, that book is going to judge you. So he goes on in verse 2, for the word spoken by angels was steadfast. And every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. Now look at verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. How many of y'all think that's talking to lost people? It's not lost people. It's saved people. The context of Hebrews are the Jews that have gotten saved. It's not talking about rejecting the gospel, the word of God. It's talking about neglecting it. Are y'all with me? Escape. I looked up escape in the old dictionary. To flee from and avoid, to pass without harm. You know what we'd like to do? We'd like to escape the judgment of God. But it's not going to happen. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. I was reading some lost guy's deal. And he said he did not believe that there was a God. He did not believe there was a heaven or a hell. He did not believe in any of that. He said, when I'm dead like a dog. You know what he's going to find out? He was wrong. He could not escape the judgment of God. Us either, guys. You know, we in the flesh, we will test the boundaries and we will cross the boundaries. And because that lightning doesn't come down, or we don't get chastened at the moment, you know what we think? Well, that's okay. I can get away with that. And that's not true. Amen. What is it? What is it that pleases the Lord? It's faith. Amen. Well, when you talk about having faith in the Word of God, it's not just believing. It's doing. It's obeying. I mean, how many people say, I believe the Bible? They don't no more believe the Bible than an atheist believes the Bible. I'm talking about people in independent Bible-believing Baptist churches. So, you know, it talks about escape, so chastisement. And so the context is, if you neglect the duties that follow salvation, you're going to be judged about it. You can't escape from that. This is where I left off last week. Let's look at Ephesians 2:10. Ephesians 2:10. We all know 8 and 9, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto what? Good works. So guys, if our life is not full of good works, we are not doing what God wants us to do. So we are neglecting the Word of God. Are y'all with me? that prodigal, when he came home, he knew Daddy what? Daddy be on that porch, Caleb, praying for him and looking for him. Appreciate the Lord's goodness. Amen. So the warning is about neglecting. Let's go back to Hebrews. I looked up neglect in the old dictionary. Neglect is to omit by carelessness or design. So we can just get careless in our Christian life and neglect that book. Or by design, we can say, you know what? I've run my course there and I've been that strict and everything, and I don't really see the need of it. And so I'm just going to slip down the other way. And that's the warning in the Bible there, that you're not going to escape the judgment and the chastisement of the Lord if you're His. If you're His, there will be chastisement. So we know the Bible says that we're supposed to be doers of the word. So every time you read your Bible, every time you hear a message and the Holy Ghost speaks to you about something, if you don't act on what He talked to you about, what are you doing? You're neglecting the word. Guys, I'm probably the oldest person here this morning, probably the oldest in the Lord. But I got news for you. I am not anywhere close to being attained. There is so much work that needs to be done in our hearts and our lives that it's just, we ought to take it. He says this, how shall we escape if we neglect what? So great. This is what Pink said. He said, this salvation is so wondrous, its greatness cannot be expressed. Amen. Now think about that. It's true. But then he said this in the next phrase, yet this great salvation may be neglected. Guys, we are not going to burn in hell forever and ever and ever. We are going to get a glorified body. We're going to be in the presence of the Lord. And forever and ever and ever, we will be with Him. That's pretty good. And then we get the opportunity in this short span we call our lives to show our love and show our appreciation to the Lord and not do what we want to do, but do what He wants us to do. If you really believe it's such a wonderful salvation, you want to do something that would please Him. But this world is eat up with pleasing themselves. Everything in this culture is geared to give your flesh the fuzzy wuzzies. Say amen.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, there's a lot of saved people in independent Baptist churches that are letting things slip that they didn't used to let slip. I want you to go with me to the book says, I also had this note here, 2 Timothy 2:15. Anybody quote that? 2 Timothy study. A workman that needeth not to be what? How are you going to feel when you stand before the Lord and you have neglected preaching? You have neglected your Bible? How do you think you're going to feel? You're going to be in the presence of the one who died for you. You're going to see the wounds in his hands and his feet and his side. And you're going to have lived the life that was about pleasing the flesh. Well, where's the flesh going to be?
Gone.
Right? All those worldly pleasures, all those things that you sacrificed so you could do that instead of serve the Lord. Where's that going to be? Up in smoke. Are y'all with me? Guys, I'm telling you, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. It was probably 25 years ago. I was listening to Sam Gitt preach. And Sam said this. He said, last year, I increased my Bible reading. Now, Sam always reads a bunch of Bible, okay? He said, I did not increase it to get more messages. He said, I did not increase it to get more knowledge. He said, I increased my Bible reading because my flesh needed more Bible reading.
Amen.
Do you understand that statement? I don't care how old or young you are, how spiritual you think you are. You need that book. Amen. You need it every day. Well, guys, we need. And I'm telling you, there's more distractions in our world than you can shake a stick at. Sure. Amen. And it's right there in our hands. I tell you, you need to be careful about what you do on those devices. Some of you, you're going to stand before the Lord. And you're going to have all that time on devices and no time spent with the Lord in prayer or reading His Bible or witnessing or whatever it might be. I'm just, hey, listen, I'm warning you like the Bible's warning. You're going to be ashamed someday just to tickle that flesh a little bit. Now turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 3. I love this book. I'm in Ezekiel. I want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, more than I want to breathe. Ezekiel 3. Let's pick up in verse 17. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. Now, would you agree with me that our responsibility as born-again Christians is to warn the wicked of the coming judgment? Okay, so that's personally, that's in our community, and that's worldwide because he told us, go ye into all the world. I don't believe a saved person can be right with God and not be involved in worldwide missions in some way, shape, or form. Pastor Matt was talking to me. I'm probably going to let it out of the bag. But next week, we are going to have a special blessing here. Brother Enosh and Brother Dubish, they're going to be with us all day, man. Do you remember when Brother Enosh visited at the... You were just a kid, weren't you? You were young. Those are missionaries, buddy. They are a blessing. That Brother Enosh is an Indian. And as far as a submitted, godly man, buddy, it just shines all over him. And the Lord is blessing his ministry tremendously. Anyway, so that's our responsibility. Verse 18. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. So, according to the Bible, do you believe that if you let people pass you by and you don't warn them and they die and go to hell without your warning that you're going to be responsible, their blood is going to be on their hands? Is that what it says? There's some responsibility there. Is there not? There is. Verse 19. Yet if thou warn the wicked and he turn not from his wickedness nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity. Do you see what that says? A righteous man, he turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity. And I lay a stumbling block before him. He shall die because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness, which he hath done, shall not be remembered. But his blood will I require at thine hand. Do you see the teaching there? Let's see. Dan, how long you been saved now? 36. Kev, how long you been saved?
Over 27.
That's a pretty long time, right? My experience with these two families is that they have been faithful. They have served the Lord. They have helped build churches. They have helped support missions. All that. Are y'all with me? What if they decide, that's enough. I'm in my 60s. I'm going to retire. I'm going to move down to Florida, out to Arizona. Doesn't matter about a church. I'm just going to take it easy the rest of my life. What about all that stuff they did? It's gone. You know why? The Bible refers to the Christian life as a race. A race isn't determined how you start. How's a race determined? How you finish. How you finish? When Robbie visited Wednesday night, I asked about his mom and dad. They're great folks, been real faithful, real submitted, real godly people. And I said this to Robbie. I said, Robbie, your mom and dad are faithful. There is no greater compliment in my mind and heart that I can give to a fellow believer than to say, you're faithful. Are you all with me? It's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So, I don't want to lose anything. I mean, I don't think I have a whole lot, but whatever I have, I don't want to lose it. Amen. And then verse 21, nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned. Also, thou hast delivered thy thy soul. Okay, so let me do this. Tim, look up 1 Corinthians 9:24. Bethy, Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Nay, 2 Timothy 4, 7. Steph, Hebrews 12, 1. Okay, you and I know that the Bible teaches us that the Christian life is likened to a race. Now, it's likened to a lot of different things. Amen. But I want you to listen to these verses. Go ahead, Tim.
Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain.
So the exhortation is that we run this race, that we do what? That we win a prize. I didn't set that standard up. The Lord set that standard up. Now, if the Lord set the standard up, why would you not want what he has for us? Well, listen to me. If you're going to run in his race, what are you going to have to do? You're going to have to follow his rules.
Amen.
Right? You can't go by your own rules. You've got to follow his rules. Okay, Philippians 3, 13 and 14, Bethy.
Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ.
Amen.
You all with me? Look at me. Is there not every one of us here today things that we regret? Well, sure. But you know what you can do? You can ruin your life thinking about a mistake that you made in the past. Yeah. Buddy, if you have messed up and you have confessed it, and we need to put it out of our minds because it's hindering us from going forward. 2 Timothy 4, 7, nay. He finished his course. He ran it. I have bragged a lot that my mom and dad put character and discipline into us. Now, those of you that are older, you know that most Americans, when I was a kid growing up, that's what they did with their children. Am I not correct? Now you got all this nonsense about gentle parenting. Well, yeah, I had the kids at a restaurant the other day, and we had some illustrations of... Guess what? It doesn't work.
Amen.
Okay, and then Steph, Hebrews 12, 1.
Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with a great consequence, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set.
Guys, if we are going to be victorious and claim that prize at the end of the course, we're going to have to drop some things off. And, you know, the illustration is people who run in the races, you know, they're not wearing sport coats and long pants and all that. They get down to nothing, right? Why? Because they don't want nothing hindering them. What about all the things in our life that hinders us? I never forget, I was listening to this guy preach, and he has a rather large church. And he said this, he said one Wednesday night, he said, after I finished preaching, just for some reason, he said, I walked out onto the front porch, and it's a couple hundred people. It's a Wednesday night. And he said, I'm watching cars go out. And he says, in this one car, he said, there's two screens down in the back seats, and the kids are sitting there watching something on the screens. And he said this, he said, I wonder how much they got out of church tonight. Mm-hmm. I don't guess preaching tickles the flesh a whole lot, does it? I'm talking about the old, good, old-fashioned kind of preaching. But, buddy, get in that car, get in that home, and hit those buttons and get all that stuff, and it just soothes the flesh, doesn't it? It's hindering you.
Amen.
Hindering me. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 4. When you're talking about running, anybody in here run track? You did? What did you run? Really? Okay, so you just showed up on the day of race day and said, I want to run the 100 and the 400, and the coach puts you in there. No, what's racing take? And listen, this is true for any kind of sport, as you well know. It takes self-discipline. We are living in a generation that there is very, very little self-discipline. It takes personal exertion. You're going to have to sweat a little bit. And then it takes perseverance. You're going to have to stay at it. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17. Cass, do you have that? Read that nice and loud for me, would you please?
For the time is itself, that judgment must begin in the house of God. And if it first begin in us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God?
Yeah, that's a strong statement. Yeah. God's going to judge his people. You know, when you study your Bible, God always deals with his people as accountable creatures. We're accountable. And he addresses their responsibility. Okay, so when we stand before the Lord at the judgment seat, he told us, go ye into all the world. We're going to have to give account of what we did. Are we okay? So whatever he tells us in that book, we are what? We're accountable for it. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Look at verse 29 with me. Now, the context here is the Lord's table for God's people. Verse 29. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. How many of y'all have been in a church that once a month, the same time every month, they had the Lord's table? Okay, the first church I went to was like that too, Bible Baptist Church. Okay. And so when I started pastoring, you know, because I didn't know anything, that's what I did. You know, once a month I had the Lord's table. Now, I was young and green and dumb, but I noticed that there's people that weren't living very good, and they'd take the Lord's table, and there'd never be any change in their life. And I was with the preacher one time, and so I asked him, Brother Jack, I said, Preacher, I said, how often do you do the Lord's table? He goes, oh, hardly ever. I said, really? He goes, yeah, once or twice a year. So I asked him, I said, why? He said, because, he says, you got that crowd out there, they're just eating and drinking damnation to themselves, and I'm just not going to make it easy for them to do that. That made a lot of sense to me. And so I backed up. Now, I know it's an ordinance, and we need to do it, but we shouldn't come with a slipshod attitude about it. Because here it says, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Hey, when's the last time? Now, listen, I am not saying all sickness and disease and stuff like that is chastisement. But I know as a Christian, when something happens to me, my first question is, Lord, are you trying to get my attention? Are y'all with me? And I do a quick examination, self-examination. Is there some reason the Lord is giving me this or whatever it might be. Now, I'm not saying every time you get sick. I mean, like, you know, some dumb teenager might drink out of a creek and get sick, you know. I'm not sure that's the Lord's chest. It's just teenage stupidity. And I mean, on a farm, right? Where there's cows. I know, it's pretty bad, isn't it? I'm sure. I'm glad we never did anything stupid like that when we were young. Amen. At night. Okay, so verse 31. For if we would judge what? Ourselves. We're real good at judging others. We're not so good at judging ourselves. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord that we should not be condemned with the world. What I'm trying to get at, guys, is that I don't think we should be casual about our Christianity. I think the Bible teaches we shouldn't let things slip. We shouldn't drift from the Word of God, that we're an accountable child of God. And one day we are going to give account of that. And it's very important. Now, it said there, neglect. It's not rejecting the Word. It's neglecting it. And let's go back to Hebrews 2. Neglect, according to the old dictionary, I think I already read it, is to omit by carelessness or design. Well, that's, I don't want to do that. I want to show you. Let's see. Joy, would you go to Matthew 22, verse 5? And Caleb, would you go to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 14 through 16? Neglect. I want to show you two verses that neglect is used and try to give you a context for it. Go ahead, Joy. Do you all remember the context of that when they were invited to the wedding? What I wanted to point out to you is they made what? Made light of it. I think it was either Owen or Pink said the phraseology in neglect and made light is the same. And then 1 Timothy 4, verses 14 through 16, Caleb.
Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of hands of persecutors. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee.
Amen. All of us that are saved, God has given us gifts, talents, abilities. We all don't have the same, obviously, but we all have gifts. And the Bible exhorts us not to neglect the gift that's given to us. I've shared with you, my mother-in-law never met a stranger in her life. I can remember taking her to the grocery store, and this is what she told me. She said, Mike, all I need is a gallon of milk and a loaf of bread. I'll be right out. Yeah, you're laughing. 45 minutes later, she gets in. I said, Lila, what'd you do, milk the cow and bake the bread? Oh, Michael, she said, I just met this lady. She never saw her before. She stood there for 35 minutes talking to her like they were old friends. Now, listen to me. I really personally believe some people are given that kind of personality. That is a gift. I am not like that. Okay, Mrs. Keenan's not like that. Steph Keenan's like that. Some of you, no, you're not like, but some of you are. Okay, so that's a gift. What's the best way to use it? Try to be a witness for the Lord. And I'm not talking about shoving stuff down people's throats and having an attitude and all like that. I'm talking about just trying to be a witness for the Lord. Say something for the Lord. And so neglecting, we don't want to neglect. Okay, this is what I want to do. So here's my question. Do you really believe the Bible is your final authority in faith and practice? I'm going to put you to the test. Can I put you to the test? Let's go to Isaiah 47. Isaiah 47. When I started preaching out some, I had people come to me and they say, well, you just preach like that because you were raised up under Brother Jack Wood and you were raised up under Dr. Don Green. The truth of the matter is, I met Brother Jack in 1983, And in 1983, I had got rid of my television in 1978. Mrs. Keenan got rid of her britches in 1976. And so my convictions, for the most part, were set. What attracted me to men like Brother Homer and Brother Jack and Dr. Green was that they had similar convictions. And those old men helped me in my personal walk with the Lord and my family and my marital relationship. Are y'all with me? So I can honestly tell you, I didn't get my convictions from Jack Wood. I got them from the Word of God. That's where Mrs. Keenan got them. I think that's really where we're supposed to get them. There's nothing wrong with a man preaching it, and you look at it and say, I never saw that before. But then once you have seen that, you are responsible for it. You're accountable to the Lord. So I'm in Isaiah 47. Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground. There is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans. For thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. Take the millstones and grind meal. Uncover thy locks. Make bare the leg. Uncover the thigh. Pass over the rivers. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered. Yea, thy shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance, and I will not meet thee as a man. Now, y'all know the context is God's judging Israel because of their wickedness. But what I want to bring on, he's talking about nakedness, and he's talking about the leg and the thigh. Are y'all with me? I was at another meeting, and I wasn't preaching. Somebody else was preaching, and he used this verse. Go with me to Daniel, chapter number 2. Daniel. See, my question was, do you really believe the Bible is your final authority in faith and what? Practice. Daniel 2. Look there in verse 32. Daniel chapter 2, verse 32. This image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron. There's two passages in the Bible that differentiate between thigh and leg. Are y'all with me? So the leg covers what? That's from your knee down to your ankle. Right? Make bare the leg. So I was telling you about this preacher, and he's preaching this, and he's preaching that women's legs should be covered. Well, I was amening him. I thought it was great preaching. But there is an older man there, and he got up, and when he preached, and the guy that was preaching, it was a lot younger than him. And when the older guy got up, he said this. He said, us independent Baptists, we have always taught our ladies to cover from neck to knee. And he rebuked that guy. So I don't agree with that. I think you ladies' dresses should be closer to your ankles than your knees. Why? Because that's what the Bible says. Are y'all with me? You know, some of us, we stop smoking cigarettes, we stop drinking liquor, we stop cussing, and we think that we have arrived. Right? Boy, y'all sort of clammed up on me there a little bit. That's the Bible. I was out the other day, and there was a Mennonite lady. And, you know, she had a long skirt on, had a doily on her head and everything like that. And she had a little girl with her. Her little girl was in shorts. Why would you do that? If you really believed in modesty, why would you dress your little girl in such a fashion? Amen. Crazy. Since I got y'all riled up here, let's go to Proverbs. I got another one for you. Proverbs. Where did I mark that? I think it's Proverbs 17. Proverbs 17. No, 16. Proverbs 16, verse 31. The Bible says, the hoary head. Does anybody know what hoary means? According to the old dictionary, it's white or gray with age. Now, I'm going to tell you something. There's some old men, and their hair doesn't have a gray in it, and they do not use Grecian formula. She said, what is that? That's genetics. That's what that is. So anyway, the hoary head is a crown of what? Is that the end of the sentence? If it be found in the way of what? I don't know about you, but I want crowns. Okay, there's five crowns the Bible teaches about that I could earn, and I'd like to earn all of them if I can. It'll get to lay them at Jesus' feet. But in this life, I can have a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. But you know what? You go to the independent Baptist churches, and women are dyeing their hair all over the place. Let's go to Proverbs 31. Let's check out the virtuous woman, see what she has to say about this. Proverbs 31, verse number 30. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is
vain.
What's beauty?
Vain.
It's vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. So why do people not want gray hair, Marisa? Because it makes them look old. But if you're a born-again Christian, you live in a righteous life, that's a crown of glory. I know that this is crazy, but I'm telling you, Mrs. Keenan, at least once every 2 or 3 weeks, when she is out, she will have another woman say something to her in a complimentary manner about her gray hair. It's crazy, but it's Bible. Now, I picked out those two things because I think the independents are letting slip godly standards.
Amen.
Because the world is having more of an effect on saved people than this book is having on saved people. And so we're not heeding the warning of Hebrews, and we're letting things slip. And I am out of time. Lord, have mercy.